Okay. It's up.
Okay, we are at the City of Green River regular planning commission meeting on Tuesday, March 18th, 2025. It is 7:01. The power is out, so we have a little bit of, maybe a little bit of differences to be noted in here. In the room for the commission, we have Kim McFarland, Steph Crabtree, Tanya Bigelow, and as an alternate, we have Gaina Dunn.
Planning commission meeting slot?
Yes. We're going to discuss some items, but possibly table them to discuss further why more commission members are here. But we will just kind of do a brief discussion on those. So number one is discuss vacating parts of streets and roadways in Elgin.
Yeah, so the two people that most recently have come forward with just wanting to vacate some of the roads, they're not here. So that would be Edward Bennett and Ken Johnson. Basically, in Elgin, the roadways are 80 feet wide. Think of about Broadway size for a residential street. And most residential streets are about 48 feet. That includes your curb, gutter, and sidewalk. So they're looking to vacate that. And I don't want to speak for them because they're not here, but basically.
Not vacate, but shrink the size to the normal.
Yeah.
Appropriate size for that zone.
So we won't vacate the street entirely, we'll just shrink it.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably what would happen is that property then goes to whoever's neighboring that that street.
I just say part of the reasoning for wanting to know that and know what the streets are having to do with the lot that it bought over there and trying to get the lot where the power poles are going to be. And so that was why the discussion came up, because the power pole has to be moved from the line where the line goes right now, because Kent doesn't want it going right over his house. And so they're trying to figure out where the power poles would go. And then looking at the streets in town here, they're narrower. And then saying in Elgin, why are they wider? So that was why the discussion came up.
Elgin's a superior town.
Yes.
Yeah, it was right?
So if they were to survey their property, does that...
The properties have been surveyed.
So does that fall kind of within what the roadway easement is, or...
No.
So we'd be kind of... If you said, if we're vacating it to a smaller size, say 40 or whatever, are you adding additional property, or is it this weird kind of... nothingness between the road and their property?
It would add additional property. And then, obviously, that's...
Would that be considered, that would be kind of resurveyed then, and that would be considered within there?
All those properties will need a new meets and bounds description. So it's kind of a big undertaking. In the past, if we vacated an alley or made those changes, it fell onto the property owner.
And that would be their kind of decision to re-survey that or whatever to obtain that property within theirs, or just leave it kind of as a floating...
It can get real messy. We'd really want every single property owner, obviously, to say yes to this.
Yeah.
And then, ideally, I think it would be all the ones that are impacted by this would then put into the cost of what it is rather than the city.
Assess.
Yeah.
So if this went forward to a voting item, would you be notifying all property owners that is?
Yeah, I have to notify every single property owner that's affected or impacted within 300 feet.
And would we say, at least on our part, I mean, I know we make the decision of it, but maybe just as a group that property, like we should take the opinion of the property owners of saying so many of them maybe want that? And
yeah.
So it actually creates a burden for the property owner, because then they would have to pay the increased property tax.
Yeah.
Unless they want that, you would be able to have an extended
front
yard.
They're going to pay more taxes.
One of the questions with the Elgin is that the lots are very tiny, 25 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the issues. And so the question then also becomes with the Elgin, is every road going to be made smaller within the whole lot of the Elgin plat, or only a couple of the roads are a couple of the roads going to be left larger to have a larger influx, and the rest of the ones made smaller?
That makes sense. You do have more your kind of main roads around Ellen.
So yeah, if there's one road, two that are, you know, they're coming in and out that are left wider, and the other ones. And so I think to really do a fair assessment, you need to have a plat map of Elgin and see what, you know, what it's looking at like.
And identify which roads are currently a 48-foot road and which roads are an 80-foot road.
Which would benefit the school bus.
Almost all the roads are 80, but the one in particular that they're talking about with Edward and Kent, on the other side of it, it's actually Green River City owns the two little triangular pieces between what is Elgin and the railroad. There are properties, two small properties that the city of Green River owns. And so the city of Green River would actually receive more property on those pieces, on those two lots, that it has the triangle pieces that are there. So they would receive more property. I mean, and I think it's something wise to do it now, before more and more people are, you know, wanting to build and do things there.
Before kind of...
Sorry, Dustin's here, by the way.
Okay. Dustin from Planning Commission joined via phone. Okay, so yeah, I think that's probably maybe another stepping stone of this, of looking at sort of a large portion of Elgin.
So
what are the street sizes there? Maybe what makes sense to be, I don't want to quote actual street sizes because I'm going to get it wrong, but what maybe makes sense to be a more minor, major, a residential, bigger street, and what makes sense to be more residential street, and dictate the size of those before more infrastructure development happens there, because you start to get curb and gutter, people are going to question.
Curb gutter.
Where do I place that?
Utility easements. Normally, you put them on the edge.
Why is this curb 12 feet off of the other curb?
Yeah. And I know I haven't been through Elgin a ton, but, you know, the ones that are more kind of a roto-mill road, it's a little harder to distinguish the width of that and where is that edge. So that may be a good decision to make.
Yep.
And those were done because of the bus route.
So
not square around. That's why they have. None of the rest of them have the road mill.
They were the first original more gravel roads that were there rather than.
But then when they did the road mill, that's why they did it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this says all lots in blocks 1 through 16 are 25 feet by 115 feet. All streets are 80 feet wide except 6th Street, which is 40 feet wide. Alleys are 20 feet wide for that whole town site.
Makes sense, yeah. 6th Street, let's make it different.
So I don't even think 6th Street exists. I think so it comes from Tammy's street, house to the golf course is 6th Street.
So it's not a real street, it's just...
No.
Okay.
That's why it's...
So, but having that detailed out so that we can look at it would be helpful when we're
and then
having
I guess
further discussion on this.
Yeah, maybe coming up with a decision if landowners don't want to pay the money to buy into resurveying or whatever, what kind of happens with that floating property?
Yeah, because there's a lot of people out there that
we don't really want to. I don't really want to stagger it and say like, okay, people need to buy into this. Let's do it on who buys in. If we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it across the board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then, kind of, what happens if they?
Park.
If they.
We'll have a city park, a 10-foot buffer on everybody's yard. Yeah.
City parking there. just kind of deciding what are the logistics of that, or do you? I mean, you can't really force it upon them, but...
It's a big undertaking, I think.
Yeah.
So we...
It almost has to be all or none.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you have a mess.
And I nailed it on 6th Street. It is basically Annalie and Tammy's backyard straight to
sense,
the...
Where it doesn't make sense because there's a fence there.
Yeah. I guess the river didn't run there year-round. Or was it this was the overflow? I can't remember.
I know there's been requests to open that, but it's already kind of a hairy easement even to get to their house, let alone to kind of open that all the way up to go all the way to Elgin through there.
Oh, I mean, it goes east to west. Sixth does. So it would be crossing the river, which is, I don't know why they...
That makes sense, because by boat, you would only want 40 feet.
There's a street somewhere under
water. Most ferries operate at 35 yeah. feet wide.
Okay, so yeah, I guess if we wanted to move forward with that on the next agenda, you know, maybe just a little bit of precedence on what notifying people that this is happening, what that would maybe be intel of them if they want to utilize that property. If people don't have the funds or the methods to utilize that property, then what kind of happens to it?
Okay. So I think since this is a discussion item, I will bring all that forward to the next meeting, and then we can make a vote to move forward with it if we want.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. And then, yeah, maybe some more feedback from Kent and Edward being kind of associated with that and their requests on what that would entail out there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the challenge is going to be is their part of it is kind of a time-sensitive issue, whereas everybody else is not going to.
And I think we could do it across the board. It's just kind of the decision of what happens if people don't immediately have the means to resurvey that and take that into their property, then what kind of happens with that?
Yeah.
I think, isn't that a question then just... Because if it's, I mean, this is coming from a county plat map and across the board the county, then the county just automatically adds 20 feet in their calculations to each lot, and then that just comes up, you know, as
yeah,
a,
if it's, yeah, if it's just a straight line across that's going or, out, then could that just be an amendment to the plat map?
Yeah, or the better option is that the roads would require a survey, right?
Yeah.
So if the city did a survey of the roads, then the county could use that survey to adjust the property lines. Because that would be the mm-hmm. only part of the property line that would change.
But somebody went and staked the roads. So
they did it like early 2000s. And they're still, the stakes are still there for the most part. I haven't checked every single one. But
because it seems like more recently, it's like, okay, these seem to be more recent.
They just flagged the stakes that were already there. It was for natural gas to the water plant.
That does make sense, yeah. If the city's saying we're adjusting a road, you say center of road, 20 on each side, if we're doing 40, whatever it is, yeah. That is the new plat, and that would just adjust everybody's yeah. plat, and yeah, your the property tax might go up by $10, sorry about that, but now you can develop further out.
Yeah, yeah. Who's going to complain about that?
The county won't do it. They're going to make someone... do it and then bring it to them.
But yeah, but it'll be like readjust on the plat map all as one. It's not going to be, you know, if Ken and Edward, like a handful of people want to buy into this, I don't want to see their property be adjusted where others aren't, where it's like
yeah.
this jaggedy line, like pull it out for yeah. all of them on the county plat map, if that's possible, rather than
yeah.
just the people that can afford to resurvey or however it is.
Yeah, it
should
be
to
all
just see it as
so I guess that would be one detail we would need to,
yeah,
that we should have next month to have that discussion.
Wait, what detail?
So, I mean, it's a question for the county. What happens with the county with if you are changing the road, the width of the county, what does the county need?
They need new meets and bounds.
But does it need to be from each individual property yeah. owner?
Oh,
do they need
or
to submit, or can the city just submit a universal one that would adjust everybody?
Okay, yeah, that I don't know. I don't know if we can just send a one whole thing or if it has to be
yeah, individual. Are we adjusting the road or are we adjusting each property?
Yeah.
So, that.
Because it would affect each property, so.
Yep.
They would need a new.
Yeah, each property would have a new description.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They would have to have that.
In the descriptions, I mean, the taxes, it just says lot number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever.
I mean, you have
the
points.
It has the...
So you still have the description.
Says, yeah, their points would change.
725 feet by 110, lot number 1, lot number 2, 25 by whatever, you know.
But if it changes by the same rate by each one, that might be a little easier to figure out.
So, yeah, I don't have a
okay
one there. But I can, yeah, That I can figure
just,
out.
Yeah, just some questions on not necessarily putting that on every landowner, because I don't necessarily want to see that be checkerboard of people looks, being able to have the means to change that versus not.
It looks very beautiful as it is, and I'd like to retain that.
Yeah, let's just pull every line in 40 feet or whatever, 20 feet on each side.
We could just curve the road. Wanted to.
Absolutely could. Just cut diagonals.
Slow people down.
Like Long Street, those are speed bumps that I've now hit the fire trucks. I was like, we should leave these. They're speed bumps.
I thought about that too. I thought about
that. Okay, number two, discuss zoning map and zones. So this is kind of related to, Kim sent out an article to everybody related to some of the Salt Lake City zoning, whether you had an opportunity to read that or not, but it dealt with just, obviously Salt Lake City is an extreme, much extreme version to what we have, but they were addressing kind of the multitude of zones that they have and simplifying that down, as well as allowing a bit of more of a mixed use in their zones, because if you designate a certain type of residential or a certain type of height, then you get that stereotypical building happening and not allowing that kind of mixed lot sizes and mixed building. Do you have any more that you want to talk with sending that article out?
They have a lot more zone story.
That
about
was two months ago.
That was a month ago.
If we had that many different zones,
yeah,
we
I think they said they had 50 zones.
Yeah.
And so, but the consolidation and the legislative changes that are happening around zoning were kind of the big overview of was there anything that we needed to address in relation to that.
So I think David had one thing with ADUs, right?
Yes. This was like 2024 legislative sessions they had. When we brought the AD accessory dwelling unit ordinance to the planning commission, we set a square footage size on what that accessory dwelling unit could be, and we set it to the minimum of that resident or the zone it was in. They have now said cities cannot dictate how big that ADU is. So they can have it be bigger or smaller or whatever to their primary. So that I do have to bring forward in front of you guys. It's been on my list since August of last year, so I'll bring it forward at some point. But kind of going back to, Salt Lake City and other larger municipalities, they have 20, 30 different types of residential zoning. And in Salt Lake specifically, it has to do with their height. So you can't have 25 feet, 50 feet, I can't remember all of them, but you have to be in a specific zone to have a certain height on your building. And so they're looking to consolidate, move that down. We have three, we have R1, R2, and R3. R1 is your single family home, R2 is kind of your multifamily with kind of a commercial spin on it. Like trailer parks, apartments, that kind of thing, or even having a convenience store on the first floor, you have a manager apartment on the second, and then R3 is just, well, R3 also has,
houses.
Yeah, R3 can also do like boarding homes, town homes, tourist homes.
No skyscrapers.
No skyscrapers, you're limited to 25 feet, so. Yeah, anyway, I don't know. I feel like agenda item 3 kind of falls into 2 without IXA here, though, in reviewing an agriculture zone. But that's up to you. I think we...
I would kind of like to table that just for her paperwork on that.
Okay.
But...
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to move us forward to 3.
No, you did. And even though we only have like 3 residential zones, I definitely see some of the benefit in having those and the segregation of those. And I also see some of the benefit of like, the mixed use of them. And that was part of that article. Like you have a townhome next to a single family home. And there is some of that benefit to mixing that housing typology in a way where like, let's just zone this as residential just across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I know our R2 has been questioned of its necessity, and I think we can continue to kind of maybe circle back to that and look at R2 and what R2, the definition of R2, and does that maybe eventually phase out where by definition, not by name, but by definition, we just have an R1 and R3 where it deals with kind of density. Because I think some of the definition of R2 fits within the R3 of just being high, even a trailer park to me is kind of a higher density housing.
That's as far as what we have going on in Green River. R2 only really, we need it for manufactured home parks.
Yeah,
that's like the only reason why you want to.
When I was kind of coming onto planning and zoning, we like phased out R2 as like being non-existent. And now we've kind of brought it back as those trailer parks, mobile home parks. But yeah, the by definition, what those are to me kind of fits in what R3 is. So maybe down the road, I don't necessarily want to tackle it right now because I don't think it's a necessity, but down the road, maybe we just go to two zones of being lower density, higher density.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Any other discussion on the map and the zones for number two? And I think we're starting to, again, push a little bit lately with like a commercial residential too, with some of the motels converting. So that may start to be another conversation we have of how do commercial zones, I think that starts to, do you talk more about your mixed use and things like that? Maybe with how commercial zones talk with a residential as well. Because to me, I see that being more of a third zone than R2, like R1, R3, and then a mixed use type zone.
Yeah, I was going to say that makes sense. Have R1 single family, R2 multifamily, and then have the third one being kind of that more commercial.
Commercial residential mix, yeah.
And the commercial would be appropriate for the trailer parks as well.
Yeah, good. That's true.
Because that would be, that would where they would fall as more commercial.
Yeah. All right, so number three, discuss zoning change for IX and Herrera from residential one to agriculture one.
Do you need to make motions for the tabling if you're tabling?
This is the one, I think. Actually, it's just a discussion because she didn't get her paperwork in yet, correct?
Okay. We haven't tabled any.
Yeah, there's just been discussion so far. This is the one I was going to table, but
it's just a discussion.
Yeah, it's just a discussion now because she, at the time David talked to me about it, I told him to throw it on the agenda because she had brought it up, but she hadn't submitted her paperwork yet.
And that's for a property that, where she is, obviously.
Blaine Evans'
property.
It's Evans' property, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, Blaine Evans' old property. It's kind of this. I have a zoning map for all of you, but
so
because she's got that field behind, is that why she's wanting
kind of
agriculture? Because
isn't she
also has a business in her home?
She hasn't given me her application, so I don't know.
Okay.
So I have nothing.
But
to
she does have a pretty good little, you know, field behind, but
in the property size. Meets if she wanted to go agriculture.
Yeah, for agriculture you only need 20,000 square feet, and she has like
I think 100 acres,
120. Yeah, okay.
Is that so she can have horse bay or something?
In any zone you can have farm animals. It just depends on the space you have.
She's probably wanting that for more for tax purpose, maybe. Or
yeah, I don't know how that relates. I would assume it's probably less though. But
yeah,
but she has spoken to Sam and. Who's north of Sam? I can't remember his name. Wilmarth?
Yeah, Wilmarth.
Yeah.
And they're all for it. So that way, because if you look at your map, it's just that little bit of castle right there.
Would they like to change to that, to agriculture as well?
As far as I know, they haven't. Like I said, I have no official documents, but based on conversations, they're interested as well.
That's that little triangle right here.
Yep.
So doesn't our in agriculture doesn't our lot size increase to have a house on it though?
Yeah.
So you can has to be. I think it's 20,000 with a house. Or 16. I think you need 16,000 square feet or 20,000 with a house. I
which
wish
is
I
a
could
half
check
acre
my code. What's a half acre? Is 22,000.
So
I think that's what it is.
Would those other?
Can I see your book?
Sam and Josh meet that?
Sam probably would,
because it's the...
I feel like Josh is kind of big, but it's not.
It goes up to the peak, you know, to the road. The canal's the back.
Doesn't Josh own a little bit on the other side of the canal?
But it's outside of city limits.
Oh, it is.
Oh, okay.
Actually, his parents probably own that, right?
No. Yeah, probably. I haven't looked because I didn't get an actual application.
So yeah, I mean, I guess it does make sense if she does end up submitting it for us to discuss that and including those other ones and kind of pulling them down to be a straight line there.
Yeah. And maybe you got agriculture here. There's already agriculture there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe looking at, those other...
But to your point, I don't know if those houses right there would fit the lot sizes.
Because, those are almost houses on Long Street. So maybe west of Long Street fits agriculture, but not kind of east of Long Street, because west of Long Street is kind of agriculture.
Yeah. So you have to have at least 16,000 square feet. Or no home.
Josh's house.
Yeah, you need 16,000 square feet to have a house.
Plus the little lot above him.
So 16,000 square feet to have one house on it for agriculture.
Except if they're connected to public sewer, then you can have 7,500 square feet.
And they are.
That makes no sense. I'm glad I finished that sentence.
Yeah.
And that's probably for septic. But.
And then across the street is.
R2.
John Vatiri.
Yeah.
Is he agriculture?
I don't think they're in city limits.
No, they're not.
So the city limit is the trailer park.
Trailer park, yeah. And then there's a little kick from Rollies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the neighboring property.
The Silver Maple is in city limits, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess if IXS submits this, there could be a discussion on should more encompass that. We'd kind of discuss maybe east side of Long Street makes sense as R1. Those are kind of stereotypical R1 houses. West side of Long Street maybe does fit within agriculture.
Yeah, and then we can...
Because there's kind of that whole, I don't know who owns that field space, we just burnt the ditch. If there was any development there, that's obviously kind of an agriculture area.
It is really good land to build on, though. I didn't say nothing.
It grows really, really good. Crops.
It grows really good crops, though. Yeah.
All right, so we'll see. Kind of wait for next month. See if IXA actually submits that paperwork, and then we can have a further discussion of if that discuss approve deny for her property, but see if it makes sense to encompass some other properties in that as well.
Yeah.
All right, number four. Before we lose daylight here, discuss approve deny consent agenda. Planning and zoning regular meeting minutes for January 21st. We actually already approved those last month, but they had the wrong date on the agenda. The minutes had the correct date on, but the agenda had a different date of just January 23rd, I believe, something.
Yes.
So we'll just kind of make that correction of approving those again, but with the correct date. And then the February 18th minutes, David sent those out, kind of secondary.
Yeah, last minute. I had no time to read them.
I read them, but they seemed accurate.
Yeah.
Do I have a motion on that?
Yes. I make a motion to approve the consent agenda and the January 21 minutes corrected date and the regular meeting minutes from February 18th.
I'll second.
Who's the second?
Kim.
Yes.
Kim, second. All in favor?
Aye.
And Justin. Cool. And that is it. So do any other discussion?
So we were supposed to have an agenda item for David to do a report and for Ed to do a report.
So I spoke to the mayor. He said no. He's not going to have me discuss. I thought he was going to be here to explain it.
That's what I said. I don't know that, because you don't work for us.
He may have mentioned that.
If you go to
city
council,
we
hear a lot of those things.
Yeah, and then I already do. We haven't done it for a while because of the changing out of our managers. But we used to post our employee reports online. So I'd submit to the council. They would read it before the council meeting, and then we'd post it online. So there's multiple sources if we get back on track to that. But I thought Ren was going to be here to make a comment, but he's not. So I would say if you want information or answers about why we're not going to do it in this meeting, I'd say check his schedule and have a meeting with him.
Okay. For the purpose of the minutes, we will leave it at that.
Okay.
Do any other discussion before we adjourn? Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
To adjourn.
Second.
Tanya and Kim, first and second.
7:31.
Whichever one you want. Yes. So we will adjourn at 7:31 before the sun goes down. Thanks, Austin.
I think there's a song now.
See ya.
We'll just be in here by candlelight.
Okay. Now the question is, when the power going to come back on?
2 a.m.
I got an email that said 12:30.
I got 12:30, so.
Yeah. I took that call, and it's not off it's, over in Emory.
I don't know.
I've heard all over town and Moab.
If it's, yeah, it's not down to, over to across the river or not.
Yeah, over in Emory, they're.
I know, I've been hearing half of my other meetings.